I'm going to take the Sunday school hour, and I'm going to teach on the tithe and the offerings, the tithe and offerings, and the importance of that, how it fits into our success when it comes to managing our finances. So we're going to read a familiar portion for most Christians, Malachi chapter number 3. We'll read that in just a minute. But then Sunday morning, this morning, we're going to talk about income. And we're going to show you the biblical ways to allow money to come into your life. And then tonight we're going to teach on output, okay? And as I already mentioned, the goal, I mean, if you want to have financial success here, the goal is hopefully there's more income coming in than there is output going out. And if there's not, there's going to be a breakdown pretty quick of something. Something's going to give. And so we'll talk a little bit about that and give you some biblical principles to help guide that. I hope this has been a help. Hope it especially is a help to our young adults, many of them that aren't in the class and they're not hearing some of these messages. Sunday school teachers, they are getting online. They are sending me texts. They are saying how helpful this has been. And so we want to be a blessing to them. Malachi chapter 3, if you look in verse number 8, the Bible says, "Will a man rob God?" What a question. Will a man rob God? Is it possible? And here it is. "Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" Here's the answer. "In tithes and offerings." And then as a result, verse 9, "Ye are cursed with the curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." And then the promise goes on, verse 11, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delight. Delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Heavenly Father, as we teach on this basic principle, Lord, of the tithe and offerings, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to understand it and to participate in it and to understand the blessings that are attached to it. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When you say tithe, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, what is the Bible talking about? The word tithe means simply a tenth part, a tenth part. And so the words tithe or tithes are found 38 times in the Bible. So if it's a tenth part, then you take this and apply it to money. If you have $1, then a tenth of the $1 is a dime. That is what would be considered the tithe on a $1 bill. And so you say, "Preacher, this is obvious." Well, there's a lot of people going to be listening online that it might not be obvious too. And that's what the tithe is. The word tithe or tithes, I mentioned, are found 38 times in the Bible. Tithing was first mentioned before the law of Moses was even given. And some people will argue against tithing and say that's part of the Old Testament law. Well, you know what? So is thou shalt not commit adultery. The whole idea that we're under grace so that we're no longer under the law. We're not under the condemnation of the law. But it doesn't mean that the law doesn't cease to apply. And by the way, Jesus said, "I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it." And by the way, that's an interesting chapter. Matthew chapter 5, in the middle of the after the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus takes an Old Testament principle and he doesn't lower the bar. He always raises the bar. I mean, come on. He said, "Hey, if they compel you to go 1 mile, go 2. He said, "Hey, I know the Old Testament says not to commit adultery, but I'm telling you, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed." Where is God lowering the standard? Because grace has arrived. And if anything, salvation by grace ought to make us be more separated, go the extra mile. And so don't fall for that nonsense that we are using grace as an excuse to be carnal and worldly and disobedient to the scripture, act like the Old Testament has no bearing and the Old Testament law has no bearing on our life. I've often said this. Think about the Old Testament law. Who was it given to? It was given to the nation of Israel. Where did the nation of Israel come from? Only time in the history of humanity that God separated a man and said, I'm going to make you a nation that belongs to me. And by the way, I'm going to write the laws for that nation. It's the only time in human history where God did that. I don't know about you, but that makes the law very interesting to me. So the one time God decided he was going to create a nation unto himself and he was going to write the laws and the rules for that nation, I think you learn more about the character of God by studying the Old Testament law than almost anything else you'll ever read. And so when people discount or disregard the law and act as if it has no application, I'll stand up against that. I know there are some things in the Old Testament law that was done away with when Jesus was nailed to the cross. No reason to give the blood offerings anymore. No reason, he said, the Sabbath days were done away with. There's some things, but the moral law of God has not changed. And so there are certain things. But having said all that, tithing was first mentioned even before the law of Moses was given. It was then commanded in the Old Testament law and later endorsed by Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And for those that say, well, it's an Old Testament thing, I just follow the words of Jesus. I study the words of Jesus. We follow him. Okay, well, let me read you some of the words of Jesus. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of the mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. So he said about paying the tithe, these ought ye have done, but not leave the other undone. What? Matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Tithing is an act of giving back to the Lord 10% of all that he's blessed you with. The tithe is, and this is what the Bible calls it, holy unto the Lord. That means holy. The word holy always means to be set apart, to be separated. So as God blesses us, he says, I want you to set apart 10% of whatever increase I allow to come into your life. And that ought to be brought, as we'll see, to the storehouse. That ought to be dedicated unto the Lord. Now, that is the tithe. In Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Holy unto the Lord. Tithing today is to be done on the first day of the week. As Christians gather to worship the Lord in their local assemblies, the tithe should be based on all that God has increased each Christian during the prior week. Let's stop. I know I'm going through a lot of things quick. So that means now what I do is Thursday is the day we try to take off when we can, my day off. And Thursday, though, is the day that I sit down at the desk. I don't want to mess with finances every day. It's too depressing. So anything that comes in the mail goes on my desk. I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to worry about it. But every Thursday I sit down and I, first of all, calculate all that God has increased us during the last week from the last time I sat down there. By the way, I'm just going to say this. It would be a profitable thing for you to take actually a pen and paper. I think finances ought to be important. I think it's worthy of a little bit of our time to sit down every week and make sure we're doing it right. But one of the best things I do is I just take a pen and paper and I write a list of all the ways that God has increased, brought increase into our life. Well, thank God I got a paycheck. And so I write down, you know, paycheck, and then I write down the amount, the gross amount. Listen, don't tithe. We need to be tithing on the gross income. Not, you know, you don't understand how this works, right? That, you know, the government's stealing setting aside a bunch of your money, and you don't even see it on your paycheck. Okay, well, then I'll tithe on what I actually get. Well, how many other bills are you going to pay? If we're not careful, we're going to try to rationalize paying all of our bills and then whatever's left over, that's our increase. No, what God gave you, the gross amount, is your increase. And again, folks, I'm going to be generous towards God. I'll talk about that in a minute. Do you want God to be generous to you? Then be generous to him. And he sees your heart. And so, you know, I put down the gross amount and then the net amount of what we actually got, but I got the gross amount. And then I'll say, has God in any other way given us increase this week? Okay, now when I sit down this next Thursday, you know, by the way, when I got home from the, I'm going to show you this. I mean, this don't happen all the time. It's kind of cool when it does. But I got home, and so I was dealing with all the stack of stuff on my desk not on Thursday because I was in Lexington on Thursday, so I had to play catch-up later in the week. And I open a card, and I won't go into it, but there's a man that goes to one of our church plants, and he had a burden to reach some of his hunting buddies for Christ. So he reached out to me, and I said, well, let me be a part of this. So we helped him out with some of the outdoorsman books that I've written. And he wanted me to sign them and to each guy personally. And he's trying to win his lost hunting buddies to the Lord. So I'm going, hey, I'll jump in and help with that. And that was several weeks ago, maybe months, I don't remember. And all of a sudden I got this note in the mail, a thank you note. And he put in three $25 Cabela cards. Come on. I mean, you know, this is better than cash. I'm going to tell you something. Because, see, then I can tell my wife, I don't have a choice. If he sent me $75, then I said, honey, I'm sorry. I have to go to Cabela's now. I don't have a choice. You know, I would rather buy you a dress. But, look, I've got to go get some ammunition or something. So, hey, folks, blessings like that come. Shame on me if I don't recognize that as where it really came from. You know, everything comes from the Lord. God might work through people, but everything comes from the Lord. So, you know what I wrote down? You know, gift from brother, and I won't say his name, $75. That's part of my income. That's part of the way that God increased me. I think, listen, I'm very diligent about this. If somebody does something and to cause increase in my life, and that can come a lot of different ways. Hey, you would be wise to train your children. Man, they get that birthday card for grandma and grandpa, and there's some money in it, and they're all excited. They open another card, and there's some money in it, and man, I like, you know, you can see their little brains twirling, you know. And hey, let them go have some fun with some of that. You know, don't take it all from them. But you know what? When are we going to start teaching our children financial responsibility? And you know what? All the way growing up, our kids, any money that came into them, one of the things we were reminded them is, hey, that's a blessing. You know what? That ultimately came from God. But you know what? That's increase in your life. And you need to take 10% of that and bring it to the Lord. And I talked to them a little bit about offerings. I'll talk to you about that. But God, in a lot of different ways, is going to find ways to bless you. And I didn't expect that. Very unexpected. I didn't do it for that reason. Honestly, it shocked me when I got the note and opened it up. And I took a picture of the note and the Cabela cards. And I texted it to him and said, thank you so much. You didn't have to do this. Appreciate it. But folks, that's $75. $7.50 of that is holy unto the Lord. Is holy unto the Lord. Shame on me if I don't account for that. Shame on me if I don't recognize that as coming from the Lord. By the way, just keep doing that and see how many times God does something like this in your life. Recognize it, honor him with it, and you know what? It's amazing how we're going to talk about the windows of heaven will open. It doesn't happen every day of our lives, but it happens enough to know that I can stand here and testify, you do right by God, God will do right by you. And so that is the tithe. It's all of the increase, all of the increase. And that can be in a lot of different ways. Folks, listen to me. The church did something really nice for us, for Cheryl. And we took off on a trip, and some men and ladies came into our house, broke into our house, and redone our entire bathroom. I mean, it did it so nice. Folks, that was a blessing to us. That was increase into our life. And so what did you do? I estimated the cost of that as best as I could, added a little more to it in case I was off, brought a tithe unto the Lord. Are you listening to me? Brought a tithe unto the Lord. You know, a lot of times people sit around jealous of the blessings of God in other people's lives. And I want to say, you know, if you're lying, you're dying between you and God. How many things have God done for you that you've shown no recognition and no appreciation for? And I'm not, listen, in this area of my life, listen, Jerry Ross isn't an example in some of some things, but we do this. We live this way. We live sacrificially this way. And I will tell you this, we live blessed because of it. And so that's what the tithe is. So you know what? Sit down once a week. What has God increased us? How did he increase us? Well, 10% belongs to him. 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 3 through 14, I won't read all of it, but do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live the gospel. So when we give our tithes, first day of the week, the tithe should be based on all that God has increased each Christian. It's to be given to the local New Testament church and used to financially support their pastor, to pay bills incurred by having a meeting place, to help those in need in the congregation, and to finance the spreading of the gospel. And, you know, it takes money. Every single week we get bills here too. Well, how do we pay our bills? You know, sometimes I got to remind people that call the church, and forgive me, but I'm a little, you know, I want to help whoever we can help. But it's amazing to me how many people want nothing to do with the church, nothing to do with God until they need something. And sometimes I'll have to remind them, you know, where do you think the money comes from? Why do you think a church has money? I'll have to give them a little lesson on the phone. If they don't want to listen to the lesson, then they can hang up and call somebody else. They need to understand, well, I need help with my electric bill. I need help with this. I need help with that. As if, you know, we don't have a printing press downstairs that prints money. This isn't a business where we manufacture things and sell it. We're not a middleman as far as into finances. The only place, the only reason the church has money to do anything is because of the obedience of the people that attend there and bring in their tithes and offerings. So this is what I'll tell them. So people that have worked hard all week, and because of that, God's blessed their increase, take 10%, add an offering to it, bring it to the church, and then you call, and you don't want to work, and you don't have a job, and all you have is excuses, and you never darken the door of a church, and you're not interested. I said, listen, you know, where's all your friends at? How about all those people that you smoke dope with? How about all those people you're hanging down at the bar? Why don't they take care of you? Folks, there's advantages of being faithful to the house of God. Amen. And one of the things I will tell people is, number one, we help our own people first, and that's biblical. You know, we help our own people before we help anybody else. If there's a need in the church, we're going to help people here before we help anybody outside. I'm not against helping somebody from the outside, but if I'm going to help them, then they need to come to church. Listen, let me tell you how we can avoid giving and helping people that don't really deserve it. Easy. If you'll come to one service and I can meet you in person afterwards, then I'll help you one time. Do you know how many people won't even walk in the door for one service? Listen, if I was in desperate need and my family was in desperate need and a church was going to help me and all I had to do was walk in for an hour or an hour and 15 minutes on the evening service and then I was going to get some help. And it's almost like they've got this attitude that the church owes them something and we're supposed to come to church. If you want to come get help, come to church. If you don't come to church, I'm not going to help you. And, you know, again, I kind of went too far on that. But, you know, we need to remind people sometime, where do you think the money comes from? How do we pay the bills around here? How do we support the pastor? Which I read that one verse. Financially supporting your pastor is a biblical thing to do and a right thing to do. Sometimes with our church plants, I have to remind our church plant pastors, I know you want to get a missions program going, and I'm all for it. I know that you want to support missionaries, and that's one of the ways that God will bless your church. But you need to remind your people, you are a missionary. Until you're supported full-time, A bivocational pastor is a missionary. And sometimes I've walked into churches and they've got 40 missionaries that they're supporting and their pastor's working a full-time job. That's not biblical, and God will not bless that. Because it said here, I read that, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they that wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath, New Testament, the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So we pay bills. We have to pay our bills, folks. We got to be honest around here. I kind of kid around because we come off Missions Emphasis Month, and people show their videos, and you know they show all the pictures of kids in third world countries and poor people and trying to reach them. And there's usually some music back in the background. It tugs at our heart because, man, how can those are souls. And I kind of kid and say, you know, at the end of Missions Month, I need to come up with a video and show, you know, have some real sappy Christian music behind it, and then show pictures of the water bill and the electric bill and the propane bill. Because you know what? Sometimes people get so excited about missions. Hey, listen, that's great, but those are extra offerings to give. Your tithe goes to support what's going on in your local church. Hey, you know what? Aren't you glad for the bus ministry? Aren't you glad for the bus ministry? You realize we're almost $500 every weekend just in fuel for our buses? Okay? I mean, this is real life stuff. If the money's not there, you can't run buses. The money's not there, we don't have heat to heat the building this morning. And so, you know, keep a balanced view of it. I want to support missions, and I want to do extra things. But you know what? My tithe and an offering along with that tithe goes to my General Assembly to keep this thing going. Because if this isn't kept going, all these other ministries that we're doing, they go down with the ships. It's just a reminder of that. So every week I bring my tithe to the church, 10% of everything God hath prospered me with in the past week of my life. And then I prepare to give my tithe. I stop and review that, prepare to give my tithe to the Lord. I review God's goodness and generosity. By the way, as I'm reviewing God's goodness and generosity, you know what? I stop and I praise him for it. I stop and I thank him for it. And what an honor for me to be able to then write out my check. We're going to talk about this, but the Lord loves a cheerful giver. That time I spent on Thursday afternoon, I'm prepped and ready to go for Sunday. And I've got to come to church with that tithe and an offering with in my pocket, ready to go. And I come with a thankful heart because, you know what? Hey, the same God that said the tithe is mine could have said, I want 25%, and he'd have been worthy of it. He could have said, I want 50%, and he'd have been worthy of it. He could have said, I want 90%, and he'd have been worthy of it. You know, if you really think about it, God just says, I just want you to pay 10% as a reminder of where it came from, and that's holy unto me, and you set that aside for me. And so it's a privilege to come and support my local assembly. What are offerings then, preacher? Well, Malachi 3:8 goes on to say, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes, we explain what the tithe is, and offerings. An offering in the Old Testament was a sacrificial gift brought in addition to the tithe. It was offered to the Lord willingly. Giving our tithe, one man said this, giving our tithe proves our obedience to the Lord. Giving our offering proves our love for the Lord. In addition to my tithe, that's 10%, so I've taken the time, income. What came in this week? How did God prosper us? All right, I write all that down. Take a minute and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for that unexpected blessing that I just shared with you. Lord, thank you for the little ways that you just remind me that you love me and that you care about me. And then I figure out what the tithe is on that. And then I always add something to the tithe, an offering with the tithe. And that's how Jerry Ross does it. I'm going to kind of break it down how we do it. But you know what? Every single one of you have the Holy Spirit of God. And every one of you, you as you review every week what God has prospered you, and you prepare to give your tithe, which goes unto the Lord. I don't want to just bring a tithe. I want to bring offerings along with my tithe. And I add that to it. You know what I'm doing? I'm listening to God. Remember, folks, it all belongs to him. And so, Lord, this is how you brought, this is the increase you brought into our life. Sometimes it's just my paycheck. That's it. Sometimes it's a paycheck and an unexpected blessing. Sometimes it's an extra thing that somebody sent us. Sometimes I preach out and somebody church gives me an offering. So if it happened in that week, when I sit down Thursday, I went down to the conference. I preached. I left. William Davis didn't know I was leaving out early. Text me on the way home. Hey, I forgot to give you your love gift. Roger Young is down here. Could I just give it to Roger? I thought, that's risky. You know, I didn't know how to answer that. You know, should I trust Roger Young with my love gift? You know, and all those kids he's got to feed. Am I even going to see it? You know, and so I said, of course, that's fine. You say, preacher, you left without it? I don't think about it. I don't go do it for that reason. I never count on it. If you just don't count on things and you count on what you know, I know, Lord willing, I'm going to have a paycheck. Everything outside of that, just a blessing. I have no idea what it is. I haven't seen it. By the way, Brother Young still hasn't given it to me. He's been home for a day or two at least, you know. I may see it. I may not. You pray about that. If some of you want to go to him and say, hey, don't you have something for Brother Ross? It might be good, you know, to. But what I'm saying is this. Hey, listen, folks. I sit down next Thursday. I got a paycheck from Blessed Hope. I got $75 worth of Cabala gift cards. I don't know whatever the love gift. There it is. Now it's like I'm going to tithe on all my increase. Lord, in addition to my tithe, what do you need me to do? What do you want me to do? Where do you need for this to go? And you know what? Just let the Lord speak to you. Okay? It's so neat when God communicates things to you. By the way, have a generous heart about it. Don't be a cheapskate when it comes to the things of God. Be willing, if the Holy Spirit nudges you to do something, to listen to him. And go out of your way to be generous. Wow, we really didn't expect that. We just had Missions Emphasis Month. Hey, you know what? I got to meet those families that came through. I know a little bit of their needs, kind of fresh in my heart. There's a way I could help them a little bit. There's a way I could be a blessing. You know, maybe give a little more to our missions program. Maybe give a little more to the Wednesday night offering. We'll talk about that in a minute, that keeps all the buildings and everything going around here, you know. And so that's what an offering is. I think the best way to describe the offering, at least how we do it, is just the offering is just listening to the Holy Spirit and him telling you what extra to give where in addition to your tithe. And be generous to the Lord. I want to be generous to God. I never want to be the Christian who just does what is required. Sometimes I coined this phrase and it's been repeated around here. But I said, I don't want to be a calculator Christian. Okay, what was my increase? Okay, those are the things God brought in. Okay, let me get my calculator. Exactly 10%. Write a check. There. I did what God made me do. I did what I have to do. And I don't want. Maybe God has a calculator up there. And he's figuring out a way to bless you. Hey, you know what? Be generous. Be generous to the Lord and just watch what he does. So when we give our tithe, we always give more than our tithe in our general account, in our Sunday morning or Sunday night offering. Sunday school offering, a reminder, goes to our missions. Or if you want to give to missions in any of the offerings, you can pull the mission envelope out, put something in it, drop it in the plate, designated to missions, it'll go to missions. So every week we give something to the general account, missions, we support missions on a regular basis, and then we give a Wednesday night offering that goes to help in our building projects around here. Now, folks, let me just give you a little reminder. This end of this May, I'm looking ahead. We're going to set aside about 3 days here. We've got to replace the roof on the back portion of the metal building behind us, the white metal building. We've got to replace all of the metal on the back of that over the top of the two rooms we just remodeled back there. We've got to put a roof down here on the garage that's beside the parsonage. Hey, that's going to cost something. You know, one of the reasons I don't have to come up here, you hardly ever have your pastor get up and say, we need to raise money because we got to put a roof on something. It's because of that Wednesday night offering. And, you know, part of good financial responsibility is taking proper care of the things God does give you. Okay? God has given you something, take care of it. You know? And so God's given us these buildings. We've got to take care of them. Our testimony, by the way, is connected to how our buildings look and how we present ourselves. I mean, come on. Think about it. So I feel like, hey, I'm a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. So that's not everybody else's responsibility. That's partially my responsibility, too. I want to make sure that by May, when we have this, you know, we hauled off that double wide that had been there since 1975 and built a new building. And you know why we were able to do it? Because pastor got up and said, hey, folks, this thing's coming up. We need to build something for staff housing for a while. And then when Brother Nichols and his wife, when they move out and get a place, then we've designed it in such a way it's going to be, we're going to be able to have two different profits chambers there, so that we can accommodate maybe just a couple, or a couple that has one child on one side, or a larger group like a tour group, or a missionary that has a number of children. You know, that the other side's a little bigger, and it's going to be all set up. We didn't go to the bank. We didn't go to the bank and say, hey, we need to borrow money to be able to build this thing. The reason we were able to do it is because of the offerings that came in on a regular basis and some extra that we raised for that project. So I think I'm rambling. Let me break it down so you really understand. 10% of the Lord, that's going to go to the general account. That's going to help pay the bills. It's going to pay our staff. It's going to take care of the putting fuel in the buses. It's going to take care of the running of the church. So I add an offering to that. Then I want to give to missions. We didn't ask you to write down a commitment this time. I'm going to tell you, I just got to the point where I think, you know, if you do it in your heart, it's going to be stronger than if you do it on paper. But I do want you to pray about that, because those missionaries back there, man, we've got a great group of missionaries and they're doing a great work. And so I've got that Wednesday night. Hey, I know something's coming up and it's going to cost a little extra than just maintaining the property. So me and my wife's already praying about it. Okay, we need to, the Lord provide some extra on one of these weeks. Listen, don't you think God would if I said this? Lord, we've got this coming up and we got to do the roof thing. And so if you can find a way to provide some extra income for us unexpected, we know it comes from you. We're just going to funnel it to that. And so we'll just trust you to do that. I guarantee anytime I've ever prayed that, God has brought something in unexpected. And we know right away, this is coming up. We told the Lord we'd send it on to him. And if you live that, listen, the Dead Sea is dead because of what? Because everything goes into it and it doesn't have an outlet of anything going out. The healthiest rivers, Kentucky Lake is a wonder to go down and see. There's a reason it's a health, you know why? Because there's a river coming in from the north that feeds one end of it and goes out to the south feeding the other end of it, and it keeps everything healthy. And you know what? God will trust you in accordance to your willingness. Remember, stewardship, it belongs to him anyway. All of it belongs to him anyway. And so don't forget to be generous to the Lord. The Apostle Paul was a church planting missionary, and we talked about that. I preached on that on a Wednesday night. Church of Philippi was generous in his support. The Bible called their missionary offerings an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Also, attach this Bible promise to missions giving, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Think about the Old Testament the temple had gotten into such disrepair. In 2 Kings chapter 12, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house wheresoever any breach shall be found. I've gone into ministries and preached in churches and honestly looked at the outside of their church building, walked inside, looked at the inside of the church building, And honestly, it was a horrible testimony. It's a horrible testimony. You could tell the walls hadn't been painted in eons, junk stacked around, the house is in disrepair, carpet with tears in it. What kind of testimony is that into a lost and dying world when we invite people to church? So, okay, those are the offerings. Now, let me give you real quick and kind of closing the when, where, and how do I, how of the tithes and the offerings. The when, where, and how of my tithes and offerings. When? Upon the first day of the week, as God hath prospered you. We read that verse. Where? I bring my tithes and offerings and give it through my local New Testament church. Then the how, I'm to bring my tithes and offerings generously and cheerfully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. What if a Christian chooses not to tithe? Preacher, what if I just decide I'm going to not tithe? Okay, well, let's look back at our portion of scripture here. Several things. You choose not to tithe. That's your choice. But withholding your tithe, number one, withholding your tithe makes you a thief. Will a man rob God? God looks at you like you're a thief if you do not bring the tithe and offerings. Withholding the tithe and offering brings a curse upon you financially. Verse 9, ye are cursed with a curse. And I've dealt with this over the years. Young couples in our church that come into my office and their finances a mess and they never have enough and they're always frustrated and they're always behind on their bills. And the first question I'll ask them is, do you tithe? Well, no, we don't. You know, I said, I can't help you. I can't help you till you start that, because I can't lift a divine curse. You are living under a divine curse. Well, preacher, we can't afford it. You can't afford not to. Because you're living under a divine curse. I didn't make that choice. God said, I will curse you with a curse. And you know what? God can cause, you can put money in the bag, and God could punch holes in the bottom of the bag, and it can fall out as fast as it goes in. And my dad used to say, everybody tithes. Whether you think you do or not, you can come and bring it to the church house and get a blessing for it, or you can steal it and God will take it some other way, but everybody tithes. So why not do it the right way, where you can get a blessing? Number three, withholding our tithes and offerings unleashes the devourer into our life. Look at that verse, number 11. He said, you bring your tithes and offerings, I'll open the windows of heaven, verse number 10. He said, number 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not devour, but destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And so there's something called the devourer that God can unleash into our life. Now think about this. Okay, I don't know why people think this is a good plan. Okay, I'm not going to tithe, so now I'm a thief in the eyes of God. I'm not going to tithe, and God is going to put a divine curse on my finances until I start tithing. And I'm not going to tithe, and God's going to unleash into me and my wife's life, and our family's life, something called the devourer. And all of the things that can possibly go wrong financially is going to start going wrong, which means the car is going to break. Everybody has a car breakdown. Don't overreact to this. But I watch people don't tithe, and everything's breaking all the time. And yet, you know what? I don't know. We've got a refrigerator. We put that refrigerator in when we remodeled the kitchen in 1994, and you know what? I opened it this morning. It's still working. And I just wonder, when we get to heaven, we find out how many things that probably shouldn't have lasted as long as they did just lasted long because God saw, hey, I'm going to keep the devourer from that family. Now, don't overreact. Everybody's going to have something break. You have to replace something. You know, it's a preacher. I promise you, I'm tithing. You're not going to believe all that went wrong the last 3 weeks. All right, I've been there too. But that doesn't make me stop tithing. Okay, I mean, sometimes things are going to happen, but God is faithful. What if a Christian is faithful in the giving of his tithes and offerings? You live with the satisfaction that God is using you to advance his work through the local New Testament church. You will experience the generosity of God as he opens to you the windows of heaven and pours out his blessings upon you. What's fun about being a giver is that God will enable you to be a bigger giver and to give more. He provides the blessings because he can trust you. You receive the promise of God that he will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and you bring God's blessing upon even your nation. Your nation, verse number 12. It makes no sense to the world why someone could live better on 90% of their income than they do 100% of their income. Doesn't make any sense to the world. How in the world can you give away 10% or 15% or 20% of everything that comes in and you live better than if you had 100%? I know it don't make sense, but it's true. It's true. The world will never understand why someone would want to give additional offerings above the tithe to support worldwide missions, upkeep of the local assembly. But a born-again Christian giving is a delight. It's a form of worship and something we do willingly and cheerfully. Heavenly Father, bless, Lord, this very basic message on tithes and offerings. And Lord, I pray it'd be a great reminder to all of our church, those that were here to hear it and in the auditorium, and those that will listen later on, Lord. Help us do right by you, understanding, dear God, that you'll be debtor to no man. And Lord, you bless us far more than we deserve. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.